All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'm going to be handling this. I'm joined by my good friend Dace, playing our favorite
first this time.
Our favorite firefighter, Busiak.
He took me by surprise. We're not actually playing Delta Green. We're playing my favorite game, Scheduling Simulator.
Scheduling Simulator, 2025 edition.
Mm-hmm. And of course, did you get the expansion pack where one of our players is in a different country?
We did.
That's the new DLC.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a crazy layer of difficulty and realism to the game. I really enjoy it.
And
five stars.
Completely coincidentally, we're also joined by Jean playing
Hi.
Benedict.
Hi, I'm sorry for being an inconvenience internationally.
That's for a lot of entities. And by Brad playing Hank.
Oh, hello. From Software, don't steal this idea.
This is our idea. Scheduling Simulator. What a shitty game would that be where you have to balance not just getting people together, but then how frustrated you're making them because you're making people have to...
like middle management the game.
Yes.
Middle management the game.
Oh, this
game.
Is so bad. I think I might have to make it. This sounds amazing.
I love that you have that impetus within you, Jean. This sounds awful. I should do
this
it.
This sounds like an awful
There's
got
to be a way to
Can
make it
communicated
fun.
With a game.
Because, I mean, we got farm simulators, we got, like, basically, like, factory simulator games.
Monotony simulator.
There's got to be a way to make this fun.
This is the equivalent of those people that get on Second Life and then just make a completely mundane character and just, like, live out their days.
What is Second Life?
Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
Oh, goodness. This is like the original.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah, you're right. It's like the original MMO, which just involved like making a character and being in a world with other people.
And
that isn't
and going to
this
work.
World. If you want,
like VR lobbies now.
No, VR lobbies are like a little off
except
the
with
wall.
Less furries.
Yeah.
Why does it always come back to this? Yeah, it was back then. Like
hey,
this was like early internet.
Box tails.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't. Yeah. I don't think we had furries back then when Second Life was around. So, missed opportunities.
Oh, they were always there.
right under the surface.
Bold, yeah.
Just behind the computer.
Well, we're trying to figure out something because we want to be able to keep things on schedule, you know, and we also want to make time for, you know, to get our Christmas one shot and stuff done, which I am excited.
Guys. Listen,
so excited for.
I am what? In a place where there is no such thing as Thanksgiving. We're a thankless place, you could say. And
right.
Maybe
that's,
we just trade.
When I think of South Africa, that's what I think.
Thankless.
Do you, okay, this reminds me of like a Seinfeld episode where he doesn't want to celebrate Christmas, so it's Festivus or what
that's
was it called?
What I'm going for. Yeah.
So you got thankless instead of Thanksgiving.
So we just trade in Thanksgiving for Christmas. I'll have Christmas, you guys have Thanksgiving, and the Patreons get nothing.
Right. And I think that's the great takeaway for our wonderful fans is that you get nothing.
So we're now the heel of podcasting. Like we're the enemy. That the fans love to hate.
Do you love to hate us? Write in.
We're adding scarcity.
Write in and tell us if you love to hate us.
As soon as
Are
you
we
add
the Jake
scarcity?
Paul of podcasts?
Oh no.
I don't want to be associated with that.
I don't want to be the Jake Paul of anything.
It was so
I'm sorry, Brad.
No,
did
no,
you
no.
want,
I'm not
did
gonna
you
get
to talk
sounds
about
like
a
the
certain
right
event
way.
That happened
this
recently?
This is the right time for a segue, Joe.
Well, speaking of uncomfortable transitions, let's talk about Delta Green Impossible.
10 out of 10, man.
A
10
meta
out
transition.
Of 10.
10 out of 10!
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, you fucking won. There should
I'm
be confetti and shit.
All right. Last time, you guys have...
same time.
These guys with their damn... was it Discord
the exact
effects.
Same
anyway,
time we clicked it.
we broke
gave
John
Joe
again.
A bit of an air horn and a clap.
Yeah. And what's great is that the people who listen to the podcast won't hear it, so they won't know what the hell is happening.
We have to have something for ourselves, Joe. Yeah. We can't share everything with our audience.
Yeah.
We have air horns and claps.
Yeah, Jean.
What?
Anyway, so last time, the crew has entered into a new place. Dace, actually, you had said something about this at the end of Chapter 3 in Episode 26. You had said...
Tell me what I said.
I'll tell you exactly what you said.
Putting words in his mouth, man. Not cool.
You had said something about... You're like, it's so... In Delta Green, you never get this. You never get the distinct transition to a new level. To something new.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have done that. You guys have breached into this new place, this... The world, the country, of Carcosa, the city of Yatil.
And we didn't have to burn down residential apartments to get here.
And you didn't even have to commit casual arson to make it happen. Isn't that fun?
I consider that a loss.
Just a little bit.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You can always do some retroactive arson to make up for the arson you didn't do.
We could try to light the fog.
So just...
And see if it destroys the city.
Or light the boat that you're currently standing in as you descend down into the Lake of Hali.
Good idea.
Through the cloud waves. I would like to say something and tell me if this reminds you of anything.
The real lesson we learned was the arson we didn't commit but wanted to along the way. Wow, sorry, that was really dark. Took me a minute.
That was a bit labored, but I think it can still go on a t-shirt.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you guys remember this. Tell me if you recall this. Along the shore, the cloud waves break. The twin suns sinking beneath the lake shadows length. In Carcosa, strange is the night.
Vaguely.
You guys read that at some point in time. I had you roll an intelligence check to see if I would remind you specifically of it. And I still will not do so because you failed that roll. But you
definitely
guys
sounds
are
relevant.
Right.
Leave that.
You guys are currently
we
descending.
Even have a postcard. We even have a photo of Lake of Hali. It's labeled. I labeled
Do
it.
Do you?
Yep.
That one?
Hey, this guy.
Let's take a peek.
Kind of looks like a lake.
I wrote down Lake of Hali. I don't know where we got that, but we
got
it.
You did. Unless I am mistaken, I believe this was actually... Let me get it up on the screen here. Unless I'm mistaken, this is actually what you found... In Barbas's mail.
Wow.
Dr. Elias Barbas's house.
Okay.
Yep.
In
it's
front
kinda,
of his house.
It also kind of looks, if you look closely, like the reflection's different from the...
Does Barbas. It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is it? Can you ping it?
Next to the house map, the big house map.
Okay.
Hmm. Interesting.
Cool.
Almost as if the reflection is ruined and the other side... stands tall still. Almost. So yeah, you guys are currently standing in this boat which bears a striking resemblance to Rolo, which is Boos's Burmese mountain dog. And as Benedict reached down into the depths, you know, to try to reach back out to this doll that Benji had recovered, the boat lurches and dives down, seemingly obeying your very whim, Benedict. And that is where we are going to pick up, but it is not where we're going to start. Where we're going to start is in this, there's this moment where Benedict, where you reach forward, the boat lurches. And Benedict, you fall back into the belly of the boat in a moment of panic, as it appears that you're about to sink, you know? And it is in that moment that we zoom in on Benedict's panicked, you know, darting eyes. As again, we have a very similar transition to what we had last time with Hank. We zoom in and see, the age just, maybe the crow's feet just diminish just a little bit around the edge of Benedict's eyes as we shave off probably even more than just 20 years. We now see what is this guy? This guy's like, he must be 30 years old. A young, spry, handsome Benedict.
He's in a...
He's in a what?
He's in a cart going west.
A covered wagon.
Going, looking for gold.
And he's wearing a bonnet.
Not that young.
Not that young. We went too far. We gotta bring it back. We zoom out and we see a Benedict, but the eyes are darting. But then quickly we see that they actually go to smiles. To smiles as we see that Benedict is standing in a well-lit and lively high-end bar. It's like a classic, like very decadent kind of, you know, high society type affair. And we see that his eyes are darting between several very attractive people at the end of the bar as someone leans over to him, a friend from the Daily Mail, another up-and-comer in the newspaper industry, as you guys have chosen to come here and blow off some steam at the end of the day. Which one you like?
All of them. All of them.
Benedict must be at the top of the world right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's just recently received his new post as, I believe, editor-in-chief, correct?
That's right.
Which is a hell of a station to give yourself in character creation, I would like to retroactively
I rolled dice,
say.
Man. Just complain to the dice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But the there is, and about that time, the bartender comes over with a drink and sets it in front of you. Benedict says, compliments of the lady in blue.
Oh.
And nods over at the corner. And just as Benedict barely, and it's like a pint of beer, or what would Benedict like? What do you think Benedict would like?
I think he would probably be having a little martini with a dainty olive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So not a pint.
Nah,
a martini, a dry martini.
Yes.
Gets land in front of you, and just as you look up, you know, the place is very busy, and you can just make out this, a cornflower blue dress. You can just make out the dress as people, and you're trying to look over and see who sent you the drink, and you see that it appears that she gets up and fades into the crowd.
Oh,
and Benedict, you...
He'll pick up his drink and...
Give chase.
Shove his friend out of the way and say, excuse me, I have things to do.
I important business. I'm editor-in-chief, don't you know? That's, Benedict, you see the back of this woman, you see her hair falling down over her shoulders, her dress low, cut low down over her back. You see her, the cigarette in hand, heading towards the door, but she's ahead of you, and some assholes get in the way, you know, some business bros, you know, like someone like spills a drink on you and bumps into you. And by the time you make it to the door and burst through onto the street, she's nowhere to be seen.
God damn it.
Perfect. Scene ends right there.
Look around?
You walk down the steps onto the street and you look both ways, your martini still in hand.
Takes a sip.
And you hear... just like standing on the street, you hear from a pile of rubbish down near you, you hear, Better luck next time. You gaze down at...
I believe nobody asked you.
You gaze down at this woman who's sitting in a... with like a shopping cart, you know, some detritus. And she appears to be... You're not sure if it's like one of those three-card Monty kind of scams. You know, she's got some cards spread out in front of her. And you can't see her face. She seems to be wearing some type of bizarre trash bag on her head or something. You don't care.
Madam, you look like my pigeon. And that's not an insult.
What? She pauses as she takes a moment to take that in. She turns to her script and makes sure what her next line is going to be, because that one caught her by surprise.
Ad-lib.
Don't ad-lib in the scene. Sorry. She turns this head up towards you. You can tell she's looking at you, and you're not sure, you know, Benedict at this stage in his life, he probably just assumes he's disgusted, you know, by this woman who would dare to speak to him. But there's an unease in you. Just, well, do not worry. You will see her again. And the woman scoops up the cards and shoves them into a jacket pocket. And as she stands, she jingles. She seems to have bells, coins, along the edges of her frayed clothing. And she sticks up a hand as if to ask you to help her up.
Yeah, he'll swig his martini and yes, happy to help.
The hand lands in yours and it is impossibly slight. Like the bones have no mass to them almost. As she hauls herself up and then puts the other hand on her shopping cart. She reaches out. As you go to remove your hand, she grabs onto you a little harder and then sticks something into your hand. It looks to be one of these cards folded in half. And she says, "We will meet again." And she turns and begins to push her cart away into the night.
Old bag that talked to Hank.
Can he look at his card? What does it look like?
You open it and you see that there's an image of it. It's like a tarot card, and you see the image of there's a woman. She's bent and crooked in her back, and her nose is long, like a Disney, like stepmother, you know, just like just comically old. And you see the word "the crone" on it, but you blink, or maybe, you know, a car honks its horn or something, and you look back and you realize, no, this is like some other language. I don't know. You can't even read this. You also now realize that your hand stinks.
Ugh.
And is dirty.
Goddamn proletariats.
The damn proletariat. Benedict throws the card down on the ground. And the door opens up and your friend, he's now got two women, one on each arm. He's like, "Benedict! There he is, the editor-in-chief himself!" As you are summoned back into the nightlife of this high-end bar. And as you walk up and into the bar, the fog of downtown London rolls in, and it just overtakes the camera until we are now zooming back out into a ship. A long ship with a dog figurehead at one end, and the three of you now completely consumed up past your heads in this fog as Benedict hauls himself off of the floor. What do you do?
Are we moving down rapidly? Like on a
it seems that you're rapids
or something?
No, it seems that you have stopped now. It seems that you that when you fell back that you stopped.
You're not moving anymore?
It doesn't appear to.
Busiak, what do we do?
I don't know. I was kind of thinking about fishing. And you see, he's like, he's started uncoiling this, what are those puppets called that you manipulate with your fingers?
Marionettes.
Marionettes. You know, the marionette rope that he had from the night floors. And he's like fashioning a little hook. I don't know. You got any ideas?
Oh, God, no. I've only got regrets. Hank, what are we doing?
That's far too real for me. And he gives a 1,000-yard stare.
Well, normally you start fishing when you're above the water.
Are you suggesting we look for lures? Like we're the fish?
Not at all.
I just thought I'd ask.
I said that earlier and then nobody liked that and now we're here. You have some control over this? Is this dog somehow dog raft somehow connected to your own dog? Can you wheel it to do something? It just dived under this into this fog. How far down are we?
Probably just like 10 feet. You can even, despite the fact that this is fog, you can still kind of see the surface in a way. You can also kind of detect your own movement. You don't seem to be currently moving.
And Busiak kind of like shrugs his shoulder. He's like, I don't know. Let me try to think the boat forward. And he like sits cross-legged and like tries to will the boat to move.
Nothing happens as you do so.
Okay.
Shut it down after Benedict threw all down here.
All right. And Busiak picks something like a rock or anything loose on the ship.
There could be like on his like person. There could be like a like an old coffee cup or something underneath one of the just any piece of random garbage.
Piece of rubbish and throws it into the fog and he's like, "Rollo, fetch."
As funny as that would be, no. That also does not work.
Well, I'm out of ideas, guys. That's all I got.
Is there anything else on the boat with us? We look around.
No, I'd say that anything on the boat is what you'd expect to be on a boat. There might be some rope. There,
can we see
you know,
the bottom of the lake?
You can see this kind of city beneath you. Again, you can see almost streets and these lights, these pinpricks of light. And maybe even throughout, maybe you even see up, more toward you, you see also pinpricks. Some of them are square, some of them are round, places where light seems to be streaming out into the fog.
But it's very far down, right?
It's quite far.
I don't know if we can shimmy down that far. Rope as well, but...
Oh, you definitely don't have enough rope to go down that far. How about that? I didn't realize what you were asking, yeah.
Is there a below decks on the ship?
No. It's just single deck, yep.
Okay.
It's stranded.
Can we see above us?
Lost at sea.
You can see back up to the... You can just kind of barely still make out like the city, the ruined city of Yathil above you.
I'm just surprised we haven't lost sanity at this stage. So I'm just grateful more than anything. I'm just telling you guys, I'm very grateful.
Way to look on the bright side, Benedict.
Yeah. For a man without a Thanksgiving, he is awfully thankful.
if I die first, I'll tell you what, you get dibs on my body. You can eat me.
Oh,
I want to eat you.
What an honor.
Busiak.
Would you eat men? Did you just watch that last night, Days?
No. What was this?
Was just something else that Brad watches?
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Help! So Benedict starts shouting, "Hello! Help! Help! We're stuck!
Anybody out there?"
I would say, like, Charlie! As you yell, Benedict, there is an echoing, and maybe just vaguely as your voice goes out, you hear a low rumble out under you somewhere. It's hard to know what it was, if it was the sound of something moving in the space or the sound that something made. But it's like imperceptibly low, like almost like the sound of like being like outside a club, like in the bass is like moving through the walls and the floor. It's just like it kind of permeates all around you. And it lasts for just a second or two, as if in response, perhaps. But and I'd say about this time, maybe Benedict, as you're looking down, actually, Benedict, give me an alertness for Benedict. How about that?
That is a success. 32 under 55.
Success for Benedict. Benedict, you look down and you see nearby, you see a, I say nearby, you see like down maybe 20, 30 meters below you. You notice now that you're looking from above down at a free-floating square that appears to be just floating in mid-space, like vertically. And it's kind of hard to see. It's almost directly below you, but you can see that light spilling out of it.
A square in the fog.
Yes.
Below us.
Just floating in space, and it seems to be projecting light out of one side. It doesn't make good Euclidean sense.
I think there's a door in the fog. It seems.
How far away is it?
Can we jump down there, you think?
I know, that's in meters, that's 20 meters, which is a good 80 feet.
Can we shimmy down to it, you think?
Do we have 80 feet of rope? On the boat?
We have rope on the boat, and then Hank also has basically rope.
What do you guys want to do here?
I have a rapid harness equipment.
Busak wants to tie a rope to the boat and try to shimmy down to the door, see if he can get through.
And Hank wants to do something similar?
Yeah.
Combine
the two ropes and maybe...
I'm just not excited about this idea of going into the water. Can we just throw something at it first, maybe? Have you ever seen an anglerfish, men?
Is that one of the things with the lanterns on their heads?
Yeah,
and
it's the teeth and the lanterns. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Oh, you think it's some kind of eldritch beast type?
Oh,
yes.
That's...
don't want to go into the fog. Let me reiterate this. I will stay here.
We are already in the fog, Benedict.
I don't want to go out of this boat, Hank.
You know what, Benedict? I was feeling pretty gung-ho, but you just convinced me. That is actually fucking terrifying, and now I don't want to leave
now
the boat.
Now I don't want
right?
to go.
Well done.
Let's throw a rock at it.
I would also like to throw a rock.
I do have a gun.
Yes. Yes, Hank, let's shoot the thing we don't understand. This is very American.
Hell yeah, let's shoot it.
I feel like Benedict should be the one leading the charge on let's destroy the thing. It sounds like... So as you guys are talking about this and you're all looking over, the boat again begins to... Like, the... prow, that's the front of the boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
The prow like lifts up and then again dives down, not like quickly or startlingly, but it begins to move. Oh. And you begin to move almost directly down.
At a steady pace.
At a pretty steady pace.
Oh, now it looks like... Who's controlling this thing?
I don't know. Our good choices, Hank.
Hmm?
Our good choices. Our controlling our progress.
Oh. You descend down to this thing, and you see now that it very much looks to be... Let's not mince words. It's a piece of square glass floating in the middle of nothing. And it's just floating here. And spilling out from it is light.
And nothing changed to cause the boat to move.
That we just got closer.
Is there, can I roll? Is there a point? Is it a deus ex machina? Is it Joe saying, hurry the fuck up, losers?
It's not that. You can roll an intelligence if you'd like.
Sure.
You can all roll one.
That is the way to tell your players that they're all dumb and they don't know what's happening.
That you're dumb idiots, and you're not getting it.
I failed.
Success for Busiek.
A 64 out of 65 success.
That's a pretty good success for Busiek. You know, that's on the high end. Busiek's, you can see that Busiek's, like he's got full, like you see he's starting to heat up. He's thinking so hard. not that he's a dumb guy. He's pretty smart, actually. Busiek, you realize that the boat really did not move until Benedict kind of leaned over and started to really inspect the way forward. You know, you had kind of attempted to will this thing. And thinking back now, it when you first went underneath the fog or the water, it was also seemed to be because Benedict was reaching out to something.
Benedict, I think you're sort of the driver of this ship.
That's ridiculous. How? Explain
you're
this to
the
me.
Wheel. Try well, looking somewhere else and see if it changes direction.
Where do you want me to look in this fog, Hank?
Away, anywhere away from this cube. I don't like
it. All right. He will look away from the cube that Hank does not like.
Yeah, you look away, like, into the distance a little bit, and you can see that there is kind of... You begin to kind of move.
Oh.
And it seems to be responsive to your desire.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Could everyone roll that sanity check for me real quick?
Success.
Failure.
Had a fumble for Busiek. He's like, you stole my fucking dog, bro. That's my dog, you motherfucker.
You begin to move. Benedict and Busiek. Busiek, you both only take one. Only one sanity damage. This is due to unnatural, as you realize that... And Benedict, you don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just take back all of my cattiness and insults. You're a genius, Busiek. Hank, that was an okay idea, but Busiek, you're an absolute genius.
Oh, he's definitely the one in charge, I'd say.
Well, we'll see what happens when we get somewhere to our destination and see who's in charge then, and
so
we'll come up with a better plan.
Where are we going? Should I just take this thing down to the lights?
Yes. To the center. The palace is what I say.
And that little weird glass, we're going to leave that because that's an anglerfish.
You got close enough to see it. Like, I mean, like it was... You know, it's probably like a 3-foot by 2-foot rectangle of glass, and it's just floating there in the middle of nothing, not moored or anything. And again, it seems to be pouring light out one side.
Ain't really no sort of expert, but based off my time back there in that maze, you could probably look into that and it'd give you like a scene from your past or something. Like you might see yourself looking at you.
That'll be a hotel. I would bet that is a hotel bathroom, Busiek. And once again, you're a genius.
It might be a mirror. Yeah, you're right. It could be a... No, that's what it is. It's a mirror to some other...
It's a mirror. Let's not go to the mirror.
Let's look
into
it.
Let's go down.
We could We could see ourselves, and it might be a cool scene.
Hank, let us not go to the mirror. Tis a silly place.
The only way out is through, and I don't think we're going to go through the mirror. To the palace.
All right, I kind of want to see the mirror. It could be insight to something we need.
Hank, luckily you're not driving. And then Benedict wrangles the ship downwards at a pace.
Yeah, it's Benedict standing there completely straight, arms now crossed.
He's
well,
so
good
proud.
Thing you're not driving, as the boat just goes it just goes going down.
It's kind of cool, honestly.
We're going to regret it.
So now the cool scene that Joe had laid beyond the mirror is forgotten forever and will never be revisited.
I do.
I'm so sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm fucking with you. Or am I? Okay. So yeah, you guys begin descending. It seems impossibly far, and you guys continue to kind of see these little pinpricks of light in the distance, and maybe even now and then, you know, maybe even you see something seemingly being like a piece of detritus, you know, or something being kind of seemingly pushed through the currents, question mark, you know, through this cloud sea. You have something, Boost?
No.
Okay. That's the way you set up made it really seem like you had something to say.
Good name for a band, Cloudsea.
Cloudsea, yes. I'll keep that in mind. You guys begin to traverse down. And while at first, Benedict, it does appear that you can will this thing wherever you want to go, you seem to be caught up in something. It may be another one of these currents, almost. You find yourself attempting to spiral down towards the very center of it all. But you seem to feel as if you are being pulled by tides hither and yon. The only reliable direction you seem to be able to go is down. Can I get alertnesses from every... Alertnesses? Can I get alertness checks from everybody?
Oh, successfully. One thing. Would Yo. That can we reset our checks? Like, if oh, we yeah. passed out on the lake, does After that count as a rest?
How many times have you passed out, Brad? Has that been terribly restful?
Yes.
Do you see how
okay,
he answered
yeah, go
your
ahead.
Question?
Go ahead and click your reset buttons. We enter a new chapter.
One time, I headbutted a post on a porch and knocked myself out.
Explains a lot.
And I just wanted to share that.
And after that, I don't smell.
Did you get slightly better at everything else that you failed in your life prior to that?
No, I just got, I started getting really angry at everything for no reason.
And I get these migraines. So you guys...
I passed the alertness.
Me
did
too.
Everybody...
Not Busiak.
Boost did not.
I failed. Busiak failed.
Boost did not pass. Okay. Yes, Boos, you are the only one who is really, I would say, terribly surprised. Surprised to when I think the other two, you know, Benedict, you're up and standing, and Hank. I almost imagine Hank is, like, very uneasy. I mean, you guys have probably been descending for, like, easily an hour. At some point in time, it starts to get quite boring, right? Benedicta doesn't appear to take a great deal of concentration necessarily, you know, to like maintain your trajectory on this thing, which is nice. But you guys, as you guys continue down there, you'd see these shadows, and the deeper you get, you see that not only are these big shapes appear to be quite numerous, some of them appear to be nearby, some nearer than others, And constantly, every now, or not constantly, but every now and then, you hear one of these low, rumbling, like, sensations. And at some point in time, you guys are watching, and there appears to be at least, you see one of the shapes kind of comes close, and maybe you even feel the misty fog kind of go past you as if moved in the distance in response to something else. And as you two are watching, and Boost, you are not tracking this, when it comes up on you, you see one of these shapes comes close enough for the fog between you and it to actually break, as you see the figure of some insanely huge sea creature type thing. I will paste this on the old... Yep, I'm gonna give you an image here. Give me one moment.
Maybe Boost is like got his back to the creature because he's like fishing with his makeshift hook and line.
You know, and maybe throughout you doing this fishing, you keep pulling up random things. Like, you know, it's like a video game. Like, instead of like pulling up like boots and cans. Trash.
Like a Furby.
You know what, Boost? You pull up a damn Furby.
Oh, these things give me the creeps.
But it's like a weird clockwork Furby.
Oh, no.
A Carcosian Furby.
A Carcosian Furby.
Oh, Lord.
Go ahead and take a look mid-screen there.
That's not good. I used to like nurse
it's
sharks.
It's a whale-esque creature that has a huge gaping mouth and more eyes than it should.
Yes, indeed. That is a very good synopsis. This thing sweeps down out of the darkness, and as it does, the boat rocks and, you know, and like shakes back and forth. As it goes through, it opens these massive jaws, and you see the fog. It almost takes like a bite out of the fog and everything in it. And as that happens, you see that all around, and I'm not sure if you can notice in this picture. Does anyone notice that shape up in the top right?
Looks like a
picture there.
Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's like a weird bat creature. Like floating up near the top.
I take that back. It's a butterfly.
Nope, I liked bat creature.
Oh.
Thank you for bat creature.
I had to look up what exactly this thing looked like. It looks like for those just listening, it looks like a weird whale shark or eyes.
I thought the same thing.
Yep.
Whale shark.
This thing comes up out of the darkness, and it doesn't really seem, and maybe one of the eyes does lock on you for a moment as it swims by, and you see that its massive open mouth. It's just taking in the fog, but all around it and almost sticking to its sides, you see these creatures. And you see that there's like a swarm of these creatures that are both attached to and following behind this giant whale-like creature. They are probably about the size of horses. They're pretty big. This creature is probably about 50 meters long.
Whoa.
So, this thing is massive. This thing is like the size of a super tanker, right? And these things are, they seem to be clinging to it and flying behind it and all around it. But they seem to be almost liquid, almost like candle wax in their appearance. And they mold and shift and seem to not have a contiguous kind of form as you're watching. I imagine in a mixture of curiosity and horror as this thing sweeps by you. Anybody want to do anything here in this moment?
Hank will definitely get his gun ready.
If Boost is fishing, maybe had like a toothpick in his mouth or something. And as he like swivels his head and clocks this thing, he just freezes and the toothpick drops and he's like, You guys seeing this? Tell me I'm not hallucinating.
Do we see it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You guys okay. See it too. No, I love the idea that neither of you respond. You're just like you're just like blah 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 blah.
Just fully gaslight him.
I would get my gun ready.
I will boost. I'm gonna try and think us away from this thing. Let me focus. Shut up.
Yeah, do that. Think hard.
Think harder.
I'm trying.
You know, maybe at that, maybe the boat does begin to dive a little quicker. Not that much quicker, but a little quicker as you guys begin to peel down.
Benedict, just try to focus on the destination.
I don't even know what that means.
Not on this big creature.
But I will. Oh no! Don't do that! Don't do that! Now I'm thinking of big creature.
Yeah, you just told it. Yeah, you just told him don't think of pink elephant.
And I think of the
right.
I think of the pink elephant.
So the boat careens after the whale. No, you continue to die. But as this happens, and you see that behind this whale is this again this swarm of these things that seem to be following after it. And as you are just about to dive down, and just as safety seems at your fingertips, you see two of these creatures that are winding in and out of each other, flying, swimming after this thing, deviate.
Oh, fuck.
And begin to beeline toward the boat. All right, everyone, that'll do it for this one. Things are about to start to get really hairy as the team is descending towards the secret Yatil. This session's up going really long, and so we actually are going to cut this one a little short. It's going to be a little on the short side, but because we're cutting two episodes in half. But I promise you, this next episode is going to more than make up for it. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, please tell a friend about us. It helps us to grow and for other people to get to enjoy us and get to discover Delta Green, discover this wacky cast of characters. But we really appreciate you guys supporting us. Hit us up on Patreon if you want to get everything a week early, get some of the special stuffs and the sanity checks and whatnot. And besides that, everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us. And remember, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.